So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the Canto 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam is called as the first step in God realization. The first step in God realization. So we'll be reading from verse number 28 today. The verse is as follows.
We haven't read 27 yet.
Yeah, I also believe so that we haven't read 27, but the verse says 28.
But you already speak from 28.
Pardon?
You is not the book to 27.
Yeah, so would you like me to recite 27 or would you like me to recite 28? What would you like me to recite? So should I recite 20? Okay, thank you. Urasthalam Jyoti Anikamasya.
Urasthalam Jyoti Anikamasya.
Grivamahar Vadanam Vaijanovasya.
Grivamahar Vadanam Vaijanovasya.
Tapovaratim Vidur Adipumsaha. Satyam tu shirshani sahasrashishnaha.
Satyam tu shirshani
Urasthalam jyotiranikamasya.
Urasthalam jyotiranikamasya.
Grivamahar vadanam vai janovasya.
Grivamahar vadanam vai janovasya.
Tapovaratim viduradipumsaha. Sahasrashishnaha. Urasthalam Jyoti Anikamasya.
Urasthalam Jyoti Anikamasya.
Grivamahar Padanam Vaijanovasya. Tapovaratim Viduradipumsaha. Satyam tu shirshani sahasrashishnaha.
Satyam tu shirshani sahasrashishnaha.
Ura.
Ura.
Hai.
Hai.
Sthalam.
Sthalam.
Place.
Place.
The chest.
Chest.
Jyoti
Anikam.
The luminary planets.
Asya.
Of him.
Griva.
The neck.
Maha.
The planetary system above the luminaries. Vadanam.
Mouth.
Vai.
Exactly.
Jana. The planetary systems above Maha.
Asya.
Of him.
Tapah.
The planetary system above the Janas.
Varatim.
Forehead.
Viduh.
Is known.
Adi.
The original.
Pumsaha.
Personality.
Satyam.
The topmost planetary system.
Tu.
But. Shirshani.
The head.
Sahasra. 1,000. Shishnaha.
One with heads.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. His neck is the Mahar planets. His neck is the Mahar planets. His mouth is the Janas planets and his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. His mouth is the Janas planets and his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. The topmost planetary system, known as Satyalok, is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. The topmost planetary system, known as Satyalok, is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. It is also important to just mention the translation just above this, as Mataji was pointing out. So I'll just read out for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas. In the earlier verse 27, that's where the whole meditation process on the Virat Roop of the Lord begins. So I'll just read that so that we can connect both. The translation of the previous verse, text 27, is: the knees of the universal form are the planetary system of the name Sutala. The knees of the universal form are the planetary system of the name Sutala. And the two thighs are the Vitala and Atala planetary systems. The two thighs are the Vitala and Atala planetary systems. The hips are Mahitala, and outer space is the depression of his navel. The hips are Mahitala, and outer space is the depression of his navel. And then this verse flows: the chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary systems. His neck is the Mahar planets. His mouth is the Janus planets. And his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. The topmost planetary system, known as Satyalok, is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. Now the reason why it's important to read this in this sequence is, usually Srila Prabhupada has recommended that whenever we take darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we always start with the feet and then we go up. Therefore it is very important to have that sequence, and that's why I read that in that way. And Prabhupada also mentions somewhere in this section, in one of the purports, that the way this description is given is in a specific order. So, we'll read the power to text 28 as written by Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Jai. The effulgent luminary planets like the sun and the moon are situated almost in the mid place of the universe. So, the sun and the moon are situated where? On the mid place of the universe. And as such, they are known, they are to be known as the chest of the original gigantic form of the Lord. And above the luminary planets, called also the heavenly planets of the universal directorate demigods, are the Mahar, Janus and Tapas planetary systems. And above all, the Satyaloka planetary system, where the chief directors of the modes of material nature reside, namely Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. This Vishnu is known as the Sirodakshaya Vishnu, and he acts as the super soul in every living being. There are innumerable universes floating on the causal ocean, and in each of them the representation of the Virat form of the Lord is there, along with innumerable suns, moons, heavenly demigods, Brahmas, Vishnus and Shivas, all of them situated in one part of the inconceivable potency of Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10.42. So this is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मुखां करोति वचलं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणं वाचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च. पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। द चेस्ट ऑफ द ओरिजिनल पर्सनालिटी ऑफ द जायजेंटिक फॉर्म इज द लुमिनरी प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स। हिज नेक इज द महर प्लैनेट्स, हिज माउथ इज द जनस प्लैनेट्स, एंड हिज फोरहेड इज द तपस प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम। द टॉप मोस्ट प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम नोन एज सत्यलोक इज द हेड of he who has 1,000 heads. So, Srimad Bhagavatam deals with 10 subject matters, out of which the first two subject matters are Sarga and Visarga. Sarga refers to the primary creation and Visarga refers to the secondary creation. Creation of the material universe is part of the Sarga as well as Visarga. There is some bit of Sarga in the material creation till the point in time that Lord Mahavishnu breathes out universes from the pores of his skin, egg-shaped universes, and those universes are there in the cosmos, and then he enters as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then from his navel Brahma appears, and then Brahma starts doing austerity to understand, now how should I, what should I do here, and how should I, why am I here for, what is my duty, and how should I execute my duty. And from the point that Brahma gets that enlightenment, then the process of secondary creation begins from that point. So, if you see also that this particular canto is titled as the cosmic manifestation. So, we are going to see in the second canto quite a bit of varnan or description of the Visarga or the secondary creation by Lord Brahma. Of course, empowered by Lord Vishnu. Krishna. Now, while it is while we will be discussing some aspects of this verse, it's very important to understand what is the significance of this specific verse in the whole scheme of things that's happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, first chapter. So, and then we'll be able to understand why this verse is as such in this place. Now if you remember, in the towards the end of Canto 1 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj had asked Sukadeva Goswami a question. What is the duty of every living entity, specifically that of a living entity who is about to die? Now while we usually think that Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question for himself because he is going to die in 7 days, this question is for all of us because none of us know when we are going to leave this body. It can be in the next 15 minutes, in the next 1 hour, it can be today, tomorrow, next 1 month, next 1 year, next 10 years, 50 years, we don't know. So no one has come with some kind of an insurance policy or a warranty card in their body that we will leave our body at a particular time. It can happen any time. So a person who commonsensically understands that he or she can leave this body at any point in time will not waste this human form of life in mundane activities. Right? And take devotional life very seriously. So that is why this message is given. So Sukadeva Goswami is answering this question asked by Maharaj Parikshit. In fact, in this canto, starting from verse 1, Sukadeva Goswami is actually speaking for the very first time from his mouth. Thus far it was Maharaj Parikshit and so many other dialogues that were happening. But Sukadeva Goswami has entered the scene and he is going to speak. He is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So, at the very outset, Sukadeva Goswami appreciates this question which Maharaj Parikshit has asked him. It's a very important question. What is the duty of a person who is about to die? So he appreciates this question. He says, Varyan esate prashna krito lokahitam nripa atmavit samitaha pumsam shrota vyadishu yat paraha. So he says that I congratulate you on your brilliant question, and the answer to this question is the prime subject matter for humanity, and such questions are approved by all transcendentalists. Anybody who understands that he is not this body, he is the spirit soul, and that the spirit soul has got an eternal existence, will be interested in an answer to such a question. So usually people have this notion that after death everything is finished. So life is short, therefore enjoy. Enjoy, do whatever you want because life is short. Anyway, there is no accountability. Even if there is some reaction that will come, after all it will all end at the time of death. And some people try to short circuit the process of cosmic reaction by trying to outwit the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by committing suicide. They think that I am suffering now, but if I chop off this neck, it's the end of all suffering. It's probably a half a second of a pain. But people do not understand that they are not this body. It's the soul which is inside this body. That soul is going to still continue that suffering because the karma, the bad karma of the soul or the good karma is attached to the soul and not to the body. The body is actually a symptom of karma. So the soul carries that karma and the karma will go with the soul till the time that that soul comes out of the cycle of karmic reaction. So people do not understand this. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking this very nice question and Sukadeva Goswami is congratulating him. Now the answers that Sukadeva Goswami is giving to Maharaj Parikshit is very important because the answers which he is giving will eventually not only impact Parikshit Maharaj but all the people who are going to hear these answers in terms of being able to intensify our absorption in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and also to develop a healthy aloofness from material things. At the end of the day, without getting detached from material things, it is not possible to attain the supreme abode of Lord Krishna. That is not possible. So absorption in the pastimes of the activities of the Lord will eventually bring out that aloofness. Unless we get a higher taste, one cannot relinquish the lower taste. And Burijan Prabhu, in his commentary unveiling the lotus feet, he writes a very nice example. He says that hearing these pastimes is like putting a funnel on the ear and putting a liquid inside, so it goes right through the ear without going anywhere else. He actually uses the example of a funnel. So, and he also gives another analogy. He says it's like a bottle where a liquid is filled. Similarly, the mind has to be filled with the pastimes of Krishna. Otherwise, if the mind is not filled with the pastimes of Krishna, then the mind will tell the intelligence to hear other things. For example, somebody may want to know what's happening in footy, or why Australia is not performing very well in the Ashes nowadays. So these are the subject matters of hearing among the men. Among the ladies, what's the latest perfume in the market? Who is the latest model? What kind of dresses she is wearing? Who has attained what success in Bollywood and Hollywood? These are the subject matters which usually are very attractive to discuss. So this leads to Sukadeva Goswami is preempting that in one sense. Therefore, immediately in the next verse, after congratulating Maharaj Parikshit on his question and the subject matter that Maharaj Parikshit wants to hear, he is going to the next verse. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nrinam Shanti Sahasrashah Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. So he is saying that people are usually materially engrossed and they want to hear about so many things. Srila Prabhupada writes, they want to hear about politics, about sports, about weather, about movies, about television, about soap operas, what's going on in the internet, hot news on the internet, or wasting time discussing how mankind is wasting time. So many things they will discuss. Some people are pseudo-spiritualists. They'll go on endlessly discussing how people are wasting time without realizing that they are also wasting time in discussing that. So it's very rare for a person who is not in Krishna consciousness to constantly be able to hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna. It is only possible when one comes in the association of devotees. Sukadeva Goswami is telling there are so many other subject matters for hearing for the common man. And he is also explaining that why the common man wants to hear so many other subject matters. He says, Nidraya hrite naktam vyavayena chavavayah. What is the next line? Divacha artahaya raja kutumba bharanenava. So he says that this is because people are tired. Most of the mankind is tired and fed up. We are all bored. Why? Because today is a nice day. Today is Saturday. Tomorrow is also a very nice day, Sunday. But day after tomorrow is Monday morning. It's not a very nice time, isn't it? How many of you like Monday mornings? You like Monday mornings? Day off for you. Okay, that's why she likes. Okay, day off for most people is Saturday and Sunday. So we are all looking for the day off. Because going to office, career, etc. is fine. But ideally we can all do without that. If there was enough vegetation, if we could afford apples, I'm not talking about Apple iPad, I'm talking about fruit apples. Apples, sometimes people immediately think that. Nowadays, and I don't know in future what will happen. Every fruit will be, orange is also associated with some mobile phone, right? Okay. So, people work very hard in their offices, and being a grihastha, I'm experiencing that currently. There's endless stream of work that awaits you. It's never ending. Nitya Leela in office. Like that. And then we work hard day and night. And when a griha medhi, a person who has no understanding of self-realization, works so hard, then he says that now I have worked so hard to earn all this money. Now having nice association at home with wife and children is my birthright. Because after all, who am I earning for? That's how people talk. After all, I don't want anything for myself. You talk to people who work very hard. I'm not earning. I just want my wife and son and my parents to have a big flat, nice car. My son should go to grammar school and study. That's all I want. I don't want anything for myself. And they'll work very hard. Like that. And automatically when the husband comes home very tired in the night, he wants bodily relaxation. And this relaxation is available in married life in the form of sex. Okay. So therefore, Sukadev Goswami being a brahmachari is knowing, you know, how Grihamedis think. So he says that people work hard day and night and enjoy sex at night, and by doing that, what's happening? The desires are fulfilled. Ah, finished. Very nice. Desires fulfilled. No. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that if we try to fulfill these desires, it's like pouring fuel on the fire. When you pour fuel on the fire, what will happen? It will come up again. It's not going to subside anymore. So the more we indulge in these activities, the more we meditate on that indulgence, and then the more the mind wants to continue indulging, and it's a cycle. Never can we come out of that cycle. Never. So therefore, Nidraya Hrityanattam. So sleeping and mating, these are the activities. And what happens when the soul gets used to these activities, when the person starts getting used to these activities, every day after coming from work and, you know, doing all these activities, then attachment also develops for these activities. When we start enjoying some activity, then what happens? Attachment develops for these activities. And then we are not able to give up that attachment. But at the end of the day, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one step closer towards death. Ayur bharati vaipuksam buddhyanashtam chayanasam. Every day we are one step closer to death. And then when that point of death comes, because we are used to doing these activities, working very hard and enjoying at home or outside, then the soul cannot give up that attachment at the end of death. Srila Prabhupada said, even if we are attached to one rasagulla, we have to come back into this material world. So what to speak of his attachment? My father, my mother, my wife, my husband, my son, my house, my car, my bank balance, my job, my position, my prestige. So many attachments we have. My country. In Hindi we say, Mera gaon, Mera desh. My country. So many attachments we have. And therefore we have to again come back into the material world. So, this question of Maharaj Parikshit is very relevant. What should be the duty of a person who is about to die? What consciousness must that person have? Sukadeva Goswami continues hammering Maharaj Parikshit. Not Maharaj Parikshit, actually he is hammering all of us. With the next instruction which says, Deha Patya Kalatra Adishu Atma Sainyeshva Asatvapi Tesham Pramatto Nidhanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. He says that people are fourth level of intelligence. First level of intelligence is what? A person who hears and implements. Second type of it, a person who hears, don't touch fire. Suppose I tell my son, Beta, don't play with fire. Okay, okay, daddy. Daddy has told, so I will not play with fire. And he never plays with fire. That is called as first level of intelligence. Second level of intelligence is, some other person is playing with fire and my son sees him, how he is burnt, and says, no, daddy, I saw my friend, you know, he was playing with fire, and therefore, I saw how he was burnt, therefore I will not play with fire. So he has seen other person. Third type of intelligence is that, after hearing also, person puts the hand in the fire and gets burnt. And then says that, no, I'll never play with fire again because of the last experience. And fourth type of intelligence is what? After getting burnt, again the person puts hand in the fire. Four level of intelligence. So, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about the fourth level of intelligent people. Pashyan apina pashyati. Even after knowing that neither our parents, neither our son, neither our daughter, neither our wife, neither our husband, nor anybody in this world, neither Alfred Hospital, nor Epworth Freemasons, private hospital, nor private insurance of, no, private insurance companies, expensive ones, $250 per month. No, none of these, when we know, will save our lives, will save us from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, then that intelligence comes. Nothing can save. All these are called as fallible soldiers. Asatva, Atma Sainyesha Asatva. Asatva Sainya. Sainya means fauj. Soldiers. Asatva is all fallible. They themselves are impermanent. Neither can the demigod save us. If we say, no, mai to mata ki puja karungi. You know, I will worship Durga, the divine mother. or I'll worship Lord Indra. Because they also are temporary as far as this material world is concerned. So how can a person who himself is impermanent save us or give us any semblance of permanency in this material world? So it's not possible. So all of us will get kicked out of our bodies. So we have to understand this principle. That is what Sukadeva Goswami wants us to understand. Then, after reciting so many problems and giving, you know, very tough statements to Parikshit Maharaj, he finally is giving the solution now. He is saying, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyasche Ichchata Abhayam. This is the solution now. So he tells, because he has asked the question at the end of the day, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? So he is answering that question saying that the process of freedom from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, or the process by which one gets becomes abhayam, fearless from the cycle of death, is Bhagavan Ishwara Hari, worship of Lord Hari or worship of Lord Krishna. So he is giving, starting to give the process. So in this verse he is giving the three essential principles of Navaveda Bhakti. Navaveda Bhakti has got 9 processes of devotional service. So here he says, Shrotavya Kirtitavyasta Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam. So 3 processes are given here. Shrotavya, hearing, Kirtitavyasya, which is chanting, and Smartavyas, which is coming from Smarana. By following these processes of hearing topics of Krishna, by chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna, not on special holidays and Sundays, but chanting every day. And then by remembering the Lord all the time. Even when we are at workplace, try and remember the Lord. So we have to develop that consciousness. If one is having this kind of consciousness, then one can escape the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. Otherwise, not possible. This is the solution. Then further, Sukadeva Goswami goes on to explain in the next verse, which is Etavan Sankhya Yogabhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. And again, brilliant verse. So, he says that at the end of the day, we have to understand what is the goal of life. He has explained the process, but someone will ask, what goal will the process lead me to? So the goal at the end of life should be what? To remember Lord Krishna. I don't know whether I mentioned this before, but one of my senior godbrothers, he had come down from Bombay a few days back, and he was mentioning to me that one of his counselees, he was driving a car, and then he suddenly saw that there was a truck coming, and he knew that head-on collision is going to happen now. Of course, he survived, but it was a major accident. And this person asked him, what were you thinking at that time when you saw the truck coming and you knew that the head-on collision is inevitable now? And he was saying that I was singing one Kishore Kumar song, Bollywood song. That is what he was singing at that time. So, how to avoid this kind of a consciousness? What does Lord Krishna say? He says, Yam Yam Vapis Paran Bhava Tyajanti Kalevaram. So, essentially Lord Krishna is telling that at the end of lifetime, whatever consciousness we are in, we will attain that consciousness without fail. So, if we are attached to Bollywood song and we are humming that at the end and we are full of that consciousness, where will we take birth? Anywhere. Because Bollywood consciousness is not restricted to India nowadays. We can take birth anywhere. And even a dog can hear Bollywood songs. We may not necessarily get human form of life. Animals can also dance like that. Okay, so in short, that consciousness definitely will give us another birth in material life. So the important point is by Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha or Smartavyas, we have to come to the point of remembering Lord Krishna always. Because if we cannot remember Lord Krishna always when we are hatakata, when our health is very good, there is no way we can remember Him when we lose our health. Many people say, I chanting to buddhe loka karna yaar. Old age mein karne ka hai. No, why do now? These are all done during old age. When in old age anyway our company will throw us out. Because we can't work. No girls will look at us. Because the skin will be wrinkled. And similarly for the Mataji, no men will prefer them. Right? And then we will be incapable of serving anyone. Even our children will kick us out of our houses. It's quite possible, right? They'll say, oh, useless fellow, you know, he's a liability. You know, now, so far he was maintaining me. Now I have to maintain him. So better, you know, we stay, you know, kick him out. You know, like that. So in such an old age, when nothing is seems attractive in this whole world, at that time we think that, oh Krishna, now I surrender this body which is rotten unto your lotus feet. And then we think that we will be able to meditate very nicely. Because in old age, concentration levels will go up. Is it correct or not? Concentration levels go up in old age or go down? Go down, right? Even to cut our nails, we are fortunate if we can reach our foot. If our back is okay by then. Correct? So therefore it is impossible to practice, to start this and think that we can do this Krishna consciousness in old age. No? When I become 60 years old, when I attain superannuation, I will start doing bhakti yoga. Not possible. No yoga is possible. What to speak of? Dhyana yoga, ashtanga yoga. No? Ashtanga yoga anyway is not possible. Even when we are young. And the younger we are, the more difficult ashtanga yoga is. Right? Because for ashtanga yoga, what we have to do? First thing, we have to leave our home. When someone told me, ashtanga yoga, your first step is leave your home. I said, stop there. Don't tell me the second step. What is the point? I can't leave my home. After all, my beloved wife is there at home. What will happen to my mother? So therefore, all these things are not possible. So Sukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, just glorify Lord Hari, practice Krishna consciousness right now. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami only had 7 days. So start doing that immediately. Ante Narayana Sakti. At the time of leaving the body, only if we think of Lord Krishna can we attain his abode. No other way. So Tasmat Bharat Sarvatma and Etavan Sankhya Yogabhyam. Now he specifically also mentioning the word Sankhya Yogabhyam here, because Sankhya Yoga is the kind of yoga which differentiates between matter and spirit. So all of us need to have that understanding, that what is matter and what is spirit. What are we? We are spirit. We are not matter. Our body is matter. But we are the spirit soul. We are not this body. So we have to understand that. So unless we understand the distinction between matter and spirit, nothing or no instruction in the realm of spirituality will make any sense for us. And therefore there will be no motivation to practice anything. So therefore that Sankhya Yoga knowledge is important. But however, higher than all this knowledge, eventually, we can't always dabble with Sankhya Yoga throughout our life. Eventually, one has to come to the platform of understanding that one is not the body, one is the spirit soul, but also understanding that the spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna, and the constitutional duty of the spirit soul is to serve Lord Krishna. So that is the point that is being emphasized. And in verse 7, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that the topmost transcendentalist take pleasure in describing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because a devotee's preaching is nothing but the devotee's own spiritual ecstasies. When we preach with fire, it is nothing but a manifestation of our sadhana and our realizations. So, Sukadeva Goswami is on the highest platform. So, he is preaching with fire to Maharaj Parikshit here. And it is said that, and therefore he says, topmost transcendentalists take pleasure in describing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the next verse, verses 8 and 9, Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning how hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from his father Vyasadeva altered the course of his own life. Because at the end of the day, Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami in his eternal form is the parrot of Srimati Radharani. So there is no question of he being a Mayavadi or a Brahmavadi or whatever. But still, for the purposes of pastime, Sukadeva Goswami manifested as a Brahmavadi. Brahmavadi means person who has an impersonal understanding of the absolute truth. In Hindi, we call it as Nirgun Nirakar. Nirgun, which means absence of material qualities. And Nirakar is no material form. So the formless aspect of God. So Sukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi. But after hearing the same Srimad Bhagavatam from his father Srila Vyasadeva, where he understood, where he realized the personal aspect of the Lord, then he says that that altered the course of my life also. So therefore now I have to tell that to you. So hear carefully, that's what he's saying. And in verse 10, he gives the Phalashruti of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the Phalashruti? What is the benefit of hearing whatever Sukadeva Goswami is saying? He says that the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is that a person, anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam, will develop unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is very important in this material world, which tosses us like waves in the ocean here and there. It's very important to have unflinching faith. Why? Because so many things in this material world will disturb our faith. When we are young, you know, and we are practicing Krishna consciousness, if we don't get married to the girl who we always wanted to marry, then we will say God does not exist. So, or if we are married and if we are going to work and if the boss is not giving us promotion and we work very hard, we say, I worked so hard but I didn't get promotion, therefore God doesn't exist. Or if we have some calamity in our family and one of our near and dear ones leaves the body, we'll say, how did it happen to me? God doesn't exist. So, you know, every now and then we keep saying this statement. Looks like in Hindi, it's very popular saying, lagta hai Bhagwan andha ho gaya hai. Kaha hai tu? You know, people will say, looks like God, you have become blind. Where are you? And then in Bollywood movies, this also glorified like that. The fellow, the hero will ring the bell like this. Where are you, my dear Lord? Tang, tang, tang. And the people will be, oh, what a nice scene. Director has created very nicely. Where are you, my Lord? He does like that. Never in lifetime that Bollywood hero would have even worshipped. Even during good times, he would not have thought of Krishna. But in bad times, he is asking, where are you? As if Krishna is our servant, he should be at our beck and call. Like servant, you know, it's Ramu, ting ting, ajao, like that. So Krishna is like the Ramu, who will come whenever you want, like that. So we have developed this consciousness that he is our servant, beck and call. But when one becomes a devotee, one gets the exact opposite message, saying that Krishna is not our servant. Unfortunately, we are his servants. And that misfortune is going to be there throughout our existence. It is not going to change because there was only one seat for God and that seat is already taken by Krishna. So we have to understand this. But a higher understanding is that by serving Lord Krishna, we will only be happy. Because we are serving fallible soldiers, we are serving useless people in this material world. More so in corporate life. In corporate life, we get a real life example of how we are serving useless people. Because when we serve useless people, we will never be satisfied. Correct? And therefore we think that satisfaction cannot come from the concept of service. Satisfaction can only come by the concept of being served. Satisfaction can only come from subordinates. Satisfaction can never come from boss. So we think like that. But when we come to Krishna consciousness and actually start serving Krishna, then we realize that when we pour water on the root of a tree, then the water, the nourishment automatically grows to the branches and twigs. And to the fruits and flowers of the tree. So everyone is very happy like that. So this is a realization. Initially it comes as knowledge, but a devotee who starts practicing it seriously realizes that, and therefore you will always find that anybody who is in Krishna consciousness practicing seriously is usually very happy. And the only reason that we have Sade Bara on our face, you know what is Sade Bara? 12:30 on our face, which means this long face. 12:30, the hands of the clock are opposite sides, right? And that refers to our face. Only reason we have a long face in Krishna consciousness is because we are doing something incorrectly in our Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the process is not giving us the required happiness that it is actually designed to give. So if we are not following the processes properly, we will not extract that full happiness. And therefore, even in devotional life, we can be miserable like that. But the process is perfect. Now, after having said all this, Sukadeva Goswami comes to the most important punchline in the verse 11, where he says, "Etan nirvidyamananam ichchatam akuto bhayam." What's the next one? "Yoginam nirpa nirnitam hare nama anukirtanam." This, I remember when we were doing the Bhakti Vaibhav exams way back. This, I think, second canto we were doing sometime in 2006. So Keshav Prabhu made us write this exam. And he gave a question on what is the most essential aspect that Sukadeva Goswami is telling in this verse. He asked that question like that. And when next week when Kesha Prabhu met us, he was furious. He said, none of you have written what I wanted you to write. Because all of us missed this point. And he chastised us in such a way that we will never forget this. That this is the most important verse of Canto 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Most important verse, he said. Eta nirvidya manana ichchatam akuto bhayam yoginam kripa nirnitam hare nama anukirtanam. Brilliant verse. Because Sukadeva Goswami said, therefore, the only way that you can be... See, why do we have fear in material life? We have fear in material life because we think we are going to lose all our material possessions. Why do we think we are going to lose all our material possessions? Did we come with those material possessions when we were born? No. We came with nothing in our hand. In fact, we came with nothing in our body when we came, right? But later on, we start thinking, this is my house in Toorak, this is my house in Glen Waverly. No. All these things are possessions which we have accumulated by our hard work. Actually, in one sense, it doesn't even come by hard work. Prahlad Maharaj says, just like distress comes, the happiness also in this material world comes automatically. Like that. So, of course, sometimes we don't understand that. We think that, okay, we are getting all these things because of our hard work. Like that. So, when we get all these things by our hard work, then we become very attached. And when we become attached, then we become fearful. So, attachment is the genesis of fear. So, how to overcome that attachment? In short, in other words, how to become fearless? Ichchatam akuto bhayam. The only process, and it is a doubtless process, that's what Sukadeva Goswami is saying, a doubtless process of becoming fearless is by chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we chant this holy name from our heart very attentively, then all fear in our life will fly out of the window, because constant chanting of this name will develop virakti or detachment from this material world. Viraktim anyatra karoti pumsam. It will develop, cultivate detachment in our life. And only then we will become fearless. Now, this chanting, now it's the one aspect of this verse is very important. He did not say, ichchata makuto bhayam. Hareya nama kirtanam. He could have said that also. But he said, Hareya nama anu kirtanam. That word anu is very important in that verse. Why? Because sometimes when we tell people, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Chant Gurana Bhagavan Kanam. They said, no, this is all ISKCON process. You know, the Bengal process. I am from South India. I am from Karnataka actually. We are from Bangalore. We go to the temple and we do like this to the Lord. Or we do like this. Okay. We do like this. This is our family tradition. So we can't do all this chanting. Don't mind, Prabhu. Like that. They'll tell me. As if, you know, ISKCON has invented some new process. And then it's unleashing that on everyone. So that we can get a lot of memberships for ISKCON. No. It's not like that. Srila Prabhupada was there even before ISKCON was established. And Srila Prabhupada was chanting even before ISKCON was there. Right? It was Srila Prabhupada who established ISKCON to give the message of pure bhakti to the West. So this process is not something which is, which is an invention of ISKCON. This process is something which is directly coming from the Vedas, from the Puranas, from the Itihasas, from all the scriptures, from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not a new process. In fact, this is the only process of deliverance in Kali Yuga. There is no other process. But because we are too, actually, those people who say that they cannot chant, it is not that they are strictly following other processes also. Actually, the only process which non-devotees or people who are not interested, they follow is watching T20 cricket on television and watching movies. This everybody will do. One day we were preaching to someone. He says, why don't you chant Krishna's name? I am Shiva Bhakt. Shivka Bhakt. Oh, we said, oh, Shiva. So you must be chanting Shiva's name every day. No, actually there is no time. So, oh, is it? You are a busy person. So what do you do? See, I have got children. He said, wow, you have children? Nobody has children in this world. Anyone has children here? Anyone has children who go to schools? Yeah, we also have children who go to schools, right? So he said, we have children. Not taking care of the children, so difficult. And offices also there. I said, oh, you have office also? office is also there, we have to work so hard, you know, and then what do you do on weekends? Weekends we just relax, you know, just be around the house. And they said, and do what? So, nothing, we just bring some cassettes and watch different movies. So this is what happens. So there is no Shiva Bhakti here. So people, when we ask them to chant, they will say, I am Durga Bhakt, I am Shiva Bhakt, I am this Bhakt, I am that Bhakt. But everyone is their own devotee. We are all Godas. We are all servants of our own senses. At the end of the day, all we want to tell devotees is, don't disturb my sense gratification in this material world. Don't tell me anything by which, you know, I will lose my attachment to cricket, I will lose my attachment to movies. Don't tell me that message. Because I am very scared. After that, maybe life will become boring. Isn't it? But actually, if the life was so boring after Krishna consciousness, none of us will be there. Because I was also a fan of Bollywood movies before I became a devotee. The fact that we have been able to give up that lower attachment, which means that over the years, some higher attachment has manifested somehow. So, nobody sitting in this room is abnormal in that sense. All are normal people who have come through the normal process into Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we have to understand this principle and have faith in Hare Nama Anukirtanam. Anukirtanam therefore means, do not invent your own processes of doing bhakti just because family tradition is there. Understand bhakti from the acharyas, from the way the tattvadarshis or the self-realized persons have understood. That is called as Anukirtanam. Bhajan which is done in the way of the earlier acharyas. Anukirtanam. So that point very nicely comes across in this verse. And then Sukadeva Goswami is saying that, okay, now I have told you these two processes. But now we have to do something practical. So he says, the first step is, now you look, Sukadeva Goswami knew who Maharaj Parikshit was. Now for example, many people have fear of retirement in India. In India or anywhere for that matter. I know, because I come from India, I can talk more about that example. I remember my own father was very scared of retirement at one time. He say, what do I do sitting at home after that? At 58, retirement comes. And after that, what do you do at home? Of course, most people watch Sun TV or Star TV at home after retirement. In old age, most couples in India, you know, their whole life goes in surfing channels. Right? Or mundane socialization. Oh, you come to my house, I'll make vada for you. I'll come to your house, you make dosha for me. You know, this is how it happens. Socialization and mundane things. So nobody knows how to prepare for retirement. Now, even a clerk in a government department is very attached to his job. So you can imagine Maharaj Parikshit, what job he had. He was the emperor of the universe. Can you imagine that? Emperor of the whole world, Maharaj Parikshit. So how much attachment he will have for his job? He's right on top there. Everyone reports to him like that. So if he has to give up, that is very difficult. Of course, for Maharaj Parikshit it was not very difficult. But for all of us, conditioned souls, it's very difficult. So that instruction is being given to Maharaj Parikshit. But as much as I say, Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit, we have to always remember that Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee right from the womb of his mother. So these instructions are meant for us. This is a drama which is going on between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, where these dialogues are being exchanged for the benefit of all of us. But for the purpose of the pastime, let us understand that, okay, let us understand that Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit on detachment from the post of emperor. So he is telling Maharaj Parikshit in the section 16 to 21 how to prepare for the last phase of life. So as the first step, he says, you have done a good thing by leaving your house. So leave your house. Because if you are in your house, and what is the house of Maharaj Parikshit? It is not even our famous 3-bedroom hall kitchen. He had an entire palace to himself. Right? So he had many, many bedrooms in that palace. Right? So he has to leave that palace first. Why? Because if he is inside that palace, he will be involved in management and administration. Right? This is fear of many devotees. You know? Prabhuji, how can I come out of management and administration? Kabhi hoga kya hai? Always involved, in these activities. Therefore, I am not able to peacefully chant the name of the Lord. So, Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami knew that Maharaj Parikshit was this kind of a person. If he stays in that kingdom, there is no way that he can get out of this. Also, for common householders, how we understand is that leaving home, in one sense, is required to cultivate detachment from home and hearth, from the family. And by that detachment, then we can focus full time on Krishna consciousness. For example, many devotees say, Prabhuji, chanting 16 rounds in Australia is very easy. But when we go to India, we are not able to chant even one round. I said, why? Because when the moment we land, we have so many obligations. We have to go to relatives' house. We have to eat onion, garlic. We have to drink tea and coffee. And when we don't drink, they feel bad. We have made with so much of love. You used to eat all this before. Nowadays you are behaving like an abnormal person. Not eating all these things. Have you become a big person or what? You are becoming so snobbish behavior you are displaying. I will not eat all these things. So these problems are there. And therefore, Prabhu, how we can... we cannot break their heart also. So therefore we will have to eat. And then when they come back, the 16 rounds comes to big zero. And then you have to start again. Okay. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya. From there again begin. And every time go to India one trip, this is what happens. So therefore, better to leave that home. When you leave home, it actually means for all of us, not physically leaving home, leave association of all those material, all those things which are materially entangling us. Like that. Okay. At this point in time, it will suffice to understand it in that way. So these are the instructions given to Sukadeva Goswami, to Maharaj Parikshit. And then, not only leave home, but how to now purify the mind. That is the next instruction. So you have left home, you have come all the way to the banks of the Ganges, now you have to purify the mind. So in that context, it is mentioned that the mind is the one which binds us to the material world. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshaya. The mind is the cause of bondage, and the same mind is the cause of liberation as well. So how to control the mind? And now Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit that to control the mind, we have to first start chanting
Om.
Now, don't be surprised why Sukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit. Prabhupada explains the reason. So Srila Prabhupada says that this chanting of
Om
is applicable in the neophyte stages of bhakti. A person who is already chanting Om Namo Narayana, or a person who is already chanting Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama, or a person who is already chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or a person who is already chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. For such a person, the chanting of Om is not required. When you are already in grade 4, why do you want to read grade 3 syllabus? Right? You already graduated and come to a higher level. Therefore, Prabhupada is clearly mentioning that the chanting of Om is recommended by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit because there are so many people in the audience. So the instructions which Sukadeva Goswami is giving is not only to Maharaj Parikshit because he has to cater to the larger audience as well. Right? And the other reason that he is giving that is because by chanting the impersonal sound vibration of the Lord, which is Om, the mind can be subdued. Many times we have this problem, even as devotees, that when we start chanting, then the mind goes here and there. Every other devotee has come with this problem. It's not rocket science to understand this. All of us, even many times still we go through this problem. The moment we sit in one place, especially if we are instructed, sit in one place, close your eyes, don't think of Bollywood movies. What will the mind think of? Bollywood movies. Because the mind will always think that which should not be thought of. Like that. Or when we are sitting and chanting, then we will start planning our activities for the day. That will happen. Or we will start meditating on the past. So the mind is very chanchal. So this chanchal mind is more chanchal before we start chanting Hare Krishna. The mind is actually much more subdued after we start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But here, this instruction is being given for all those people who are not yet even come to the platform of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. So for such persons to initially subdue the mind so it can then think of the personal aspect of the Lord, it is mentioned that you first start meditating on the word sound Om. because the sound vibration Om is a part of Ashtanga Yoga process, namely Pranayama. That's why if you, there are many programs, like for example, there is a program, famous program in India, which is also abroad now, called as the Art of Living. If you go there, they'll teach you how to do this Pranayama. They'll teach you this way. Like that, you do and then you leave there. Which is a good process. Which is a good process. And then they'll also teach you how to do Om by, you know, regulating your breathing in and breathing out. It's a very good process for the body. Because by following the Pranayama process, usually people go there, 99% of people go there to get rid of problems like arthritis, diabetes, sugar, hypertension, blah, 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 blah. At least I have not seen one single person doing Pranayama saying that, Prabhu, I want to control my mind so that I can think of the Supreme Lord. No, I have not at least found, I am yet to find one person who does that. So the process has got a lot of benefits, no doubt about that. But there is something that we have to do after the mind comes under control, or after we get rid of all our sugar, etc., etc. Then after that also there is, life goes on, right? For example, you can chant Pranayama very perfectly, and we can proudly go to the congregation and say, I don't have any problems now. After chanting Om, after doing Pranayama, my arthritis has gone. Doctor said, you know, I had cancer. Now that has also gone away. And then when you walk on the street, one truck finishes off. So death can come anytime. So Pranayama doesn't mean we will become immortal. So it will enable us to stay fit as long as death is written in our fate. Correct? This process continues even after death, where the Pranayama stops. Correct? So therefore, but for the beginning stage, then it is mentioned that you can meditate on the Omkara to subdue your mind so that the mind will not run here and there. You catch it and make it sit in one place, and then from that point on start chanting the names of Hari. Now, after having given this instruction, one aspect of meditation is addressed. Now, in this material world, we see different types of people with different types of attitudes and preferences. Not everyone can see understanding Lord Krishna. It is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, is very rare. One who can absolutely understand Lord Krishna, such a person is very rare. It is sudurlabha, very rarely attained that stage. In fact, for most people, understanding the difference between spirit, soul and matter is also very difficult. Right? Many people say that Bhagavan hai to mere saamne aaye, which means if there is a God, then let him come in front of me, then I will believe. Now God is not obliged to come in front of us, saying that I have come in front of you, so that now my dear friend, you can start believing in me. Even if he comes like that, then you will say, hey, you are so cheaply available. You know, I just said you come and you are coming. So you cannot be the supreme controller. Right? You cannot be a big man. Right? Anything which is comes cheaply to us, we never value in this life. We all know that. Right? So therefore, even if God comes cheaply, we will not value. We may start doubting. This person is really God. I just called and he came. So therefore, even if he comes, we are not going to believe in him. And anyway, the Lord is not going to come. So you don't have to worry about that problem. He is not. He doesn't come like that. Even, you know, for example, if I say, if Kevin Rudd is the Prime Minister, right? No? What is he? Let him come in front of me. Is he going to come? No way he's going to come. He will say, who are you? I should come in front of you. I'm a big man. In fact, you have to come to my secretary and wait for months to get an appointment with me. So now we are talking about the Prime Minister of the whole, you know, cosmos, Lord Krishna. So he will not come cheaply in front of us. So, but people still will not budge. They say, no, 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 I want to still be able to see this Lord Krishna in matter before I get spiritual realization. Spiritual realization is what? Understanding that Lord Krishna is Supreme Spirit. They say that, okay, that may take many years for me. I don't know about that. But I want to see that Lord Krishna, how he has manifested in matter. So, and in that context, these verses come today. Okay. So, these verses are popularly called as the verses which describe the Virat Roop of the Lord, or the material manifestation of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So if we cannot see the 200 bending form of Lord Krishna because our mind is full of lust, anger, envy, greed and pride, then at least the provision is given for such people to initially start meditating on Lord Krishna by meditating on his Virat Rupa or the impersonal material manifestation of the Lord. So there is an impersonal manifestation of the Lord, there is a material manifestation of the Lord, and then there is the understanding at the end of the day that the Lord was never material, everything is spiritual at the end of the day. That's a higher realization. But for people who are not on that platform, then it is mentioned that you can start meditating on the various planetary systems which are there in this material world. Now in this material world, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, when he manifests here, from his navel come 14 planetary systems. Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, Maha, Jana, Tapa, Satya. All these 14 planetary systems are there. And they are physically there in this universe. Of course, our material science cannot go beyond the moon. Even to the moon, they say they have gone to the moon. Who knows whether they have gone to the moon? The big question is, technology has definitely advanced beyond 1969. Now we are in 2013. Now if they have gone to the moon in 1969, why man never went to the moon after all these years? So obviously we have to understand that we have to take this message with a pinch of salt. Whether man really went to the moon or not, at least Srila Prabhupada concluded they never went to the moon, because you can't go to the moon with material devices like that. So the Vedas give a very clear perspective of how the cosmos is arranged, how the 14 planetary systems are arranged. Now it is the neophyte devotee who cannot understand the spiritual form of the Lord is expected to sit in one place and then understand that Lord through understanding his nature. So through Prakriti we are trying to understand Bhagavan, who is the cause of Prakriti, and that is how all these verses are flowing. If we understand this context, sometimes these verses are very bewildering. We may think, why all these details are required to understand as a devotee? Is it not enough to understand Lord Krishna's pastimes? But we have to understand that all these verses are also part of Lord, because the Lord is the absolute truth. His material nature is not different from him. Of course, he is not impacted by the material nature, or he is not subjugated by material nature, but material nature is not impacted by him. So both the internal energy and the external energy of the Lord collectively form the understanding of the absolute truth. So it's not one should not consider it a waste of time to go into these technicalities. In fact, by going to these technicalities, one develops a healthy reverence for the Lord. Unless we develop a healthy reverence for the Lord, it is very difficult for us to then develop love for that person. Because if we don't develop a reverence for the Lord in terms of he being the creator and the controller, then we can take Krishna very casually, even while doing devotional service. So in that context, all these verses are important. And therefore, Varanan is given here that how one can meditate on this Lord even through the Virat Rupa, by understanding the different planetary systems in terms of it being different organs of his body. So that's the context of this verse. I'll stop here and ask if there are any questions, comments or corrections. Yeah, so the God, first of all, I think you're asking this question for someone else, so I'll answer that question anyway.
I mean, we may see, that God can go old because he is performing his pastimes.
Yeah.
So he can grow old also.
Yeah. So, yes, the Lord can grow old. The only reason that I'm saying is that there is nothing that the Lord cannot do. Cannot is not a word in the dictionary of Bhagavan. If we can get old, why Lord cannot get old? So Lord can get anything. Okay. However, when we get old, we desire to become young by applying hair dye, nail polish, whatever, skin creams and all that. The Lord does not have to do that. he operates purely on his ichcha. If he desires to come as an old person, he can become old. But the moment he desires, no, I want to be young, he can become young. That we cannot do, unfortunately. Right? We will need another lifetime. That too, the next lifetime may not be even a human form. We may become a young puppy, not a young child. Right? Or a young pig also. But the Lord can become a pig also. He became a boar in the Varaha incarnation. The Lord can become anything. He can even come in a half man, half lion form, which beats all material logic. Like that. So the Lord can become anything. In fact, if you see the Panchatattva itself, there is one old personality standing there, who is Advaita Acharya. So who is Advaita Acharya? Advaita Acharya is said in the scriptures to be a combined incarnation of Sadashiva and Mahavishnu. And then he became old. But again, you have to understand who is Advaita Acharya. So the Lord, for the purpose of that pastime, became old. Why he became old? Because Advaita Acharya had to be born before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Advaita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to have certain pastimes with Advaita Acharya. For the Chaitanya Charitamrita to take effect. Like that. So then Advaita Acharya remained in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore he manifested. And because it was a nur-like, human-like pastime, then the Lord became old over there. But we have to understand that the Lord becomes old not because of the subjugation of material nature. Because material nature has a debilitating effect. It has got a deteriorating effect. As in Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, gradually the body, when it is small, then it becomes grows, produces some effects and then dwindles. It is mentioned in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So our bodies are under the subjugation of material nature, but the Lord's body is not under the subjugation. So even if the Lord becomes old, he is not becoming old because material nature has ordained that he becomes old. Because in the Brahma Samhita, it is mentioned that material nature conducts itself by the will of Lord Krishna. Which verse is that? Chayena Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. In that verse, it is mentioned that Durga conducts herself according to the will of Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna's becoming old is possible, but not under the subjugation of material nature. It is by his own ichcha. His swarat is completely independent. He can become old, young, animal, half man, anything he can become. Impersonal, everything is possible. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Yeah. Had any question? Comments? Yeah, very good point. The Lord is always Nava Yavanam. Nava Yavanam means ever young. But again, that is not a limitation, it's a feature of the Lord. It's not that Lord cannot become old, because he can become anything. Because we use the word cannot. Cannot is not there in the dictionary of Bhagavan. Like, but yes, he is Nava Yavanam. Okay, I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki.